Good morning, brothers and sisters. As we are here to worship God in spirit and in truth, and I am here to enlighten you so that we all could put the simple words together in our life and strive to be better servants of God, be that light in this area of darkness. For those who do not know me, my name is Moses Lal. I've been in the church for a little over 30 years, and I've always been involved in the leadership back in Guyana and in Canada here. Back home, I used to be a marketing manager for a large company, so it entails my job to work and be out in the field, you know, to plan and to know how the business is running, how it could go, how you could make more money for the company. So I normally would be out of the office a lot, maybe like three days a week or so on, and all over in Guyana. And I'm from the rural part of Guyana, so when I go there, I normally take my family and like a little vacation, and mini vacation, and come back. So whilst we are going back one day, we are going on a ferry. And in order to go on the ferry, you have to line up there about from 8 o'clock in the night, and it leaves about 2 in the morning. So me and my family, we went. They're all in the car. We walk around. They're tired, lie down and sleep. So later on in the night, I just decided to stretch my leg and walk. So whilst going to Stellin, I see this big gathering. Now, there was a Pentecostal Christians. I knew that most of them or some of them, and they were going in the city too, so they had a big, lots of people, plus there were lots of people waiting on this ferry. So this guy, this brother was preaching, And he was teaching, he says, now we live in the second creation. God created the world once and then destroy, and then we create another world. And we were thinking, so I was listening to him, was puzzled, right? Of course it was false doctrine. I knew it, but it was lots of people there. So I put up my hand. I said, brother, can I ask you a question? Where in the Bible did you find this new creation? He says, I'm a Christian and I want to go to heaven. And I don't want to be left back. If you're teaching something and I don't know about it, show me where it is in the Bible. So he looked at me and he says, he recognized me, he knows me. He says, oh boy, I don't have my Bible here, or else I will show you. I says, hold on. So I went back right to my car. I always have the same Bible, exact Bible. And I bring it out to him and I says, show me. He took it, he looked. He says, you know, I can't find the exact scripture, but it's in here. I says, no, it's not in there. You can't find it. You know, that's false teaching. You know, I says, you have to teach us. When you teach, teach from what the Bible is, you know. You're leading people astray. Now, lots of people were listening, you know, to him. So one person now put up their hand and they asked a question. They says, brother, would these people, and there are lots of Hindus and Muslim people in this thing, would all these Hindu and Muslim people that's here, will they go to heaven too? So I didn't want to answer the question because it could annoy people. Somebody might beat me up, you know. So I says, this brother, he's teaching the class. He's teaching you guys. He's a preacher. Let him answer it. He says, no, they want me to answer the question. So I said, no, but let him answer it first. I says, okay. So he says, he look around, he says, you know, these people are all good people in God's eye. There's one God and there's many paths to it. And they're good people. They would go to heaven too. Right? So he says, so they turn to me. They says, you answer the question. Now I says, look, Jesus answered this question. And he wrote in his Bible, it's in the Bible, what he answered his question with. And I'll tell you his answer. Now, this is not my answer. This is Jesus' answer. And I am a servant of God, and I stand by the answer what Jesus says. I turn to Luke, right, 13:21, and it says, John 14:6. And it says, chapter 6, you could read it, it says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I said, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth and the life. There's no other way unto the Father but by me? I says, he answered that question. He says, he is the only way. So the only way to heaven is through Jesus. And I says, this may be good people, but they could go to heaven too if they want, but they have to go through Christ. You know, and the instruction is all he. Nobody argued with me. They all was quiet. But as we said in Timothy, we have to be aware of false teacher and false doctrine in this world. In the television, you look at it and people are preaching because they are preaching not to save soul, but to gain financial gain. That's what they do, right? And they trick people so easily. And how can you be tricked if you do not know the gospel? That's why it's important for us to read the Bible, for us to gain knowledge of it, you know, so that we could know the truth from the false. You know, I watch Benny Hing. He's a very, very smart person, you know. And in Guyana, it's a poor country. And when he came, the poor people went out, gave them their money. I have a brother. He's in the Pentecostal church. Poor guy, he's in so much debt, you know. And they said, Benny King on television says, he will forgive your debt. Your debt will go away. But you have to send some money, and he wants U.S. So my brother asked me, I said, no, I'm not giving you no money. Those are false teachers. But he believed in it. He went and borrowed money, sent it to the U.S. to Benny Hinn. And then Benny Hinn had this big thing where you could write all your debt, put it and burn it and touch a TV, and he pray and it all goes away. Very good. He did all of that. Now he owe the person he borrowed money from. Person come looking for his money. So he's asking me to lend him some money to pay the person. I says, no, your debt is forgiven. Go to Benny Hinn. You see, but that's how people get caught up in false doctrine, right? And that's what the Bible was talking about. That was what Paul was talking about when he writes. He said, if anyone teach false doctrine and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord and Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understand nothing. Men of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who thinks godliness is a means of financial gain. That's from our reading, 1 Timothy 6, 3 to 12. You see, men of corrupt mind who have robbed the truth, you know, people would do anything to gain financially of poor people, of any kind of people, you know. And we've seen that lots. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Let's take a point. Their godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, as Christian, we have to be contented, right? It's a big word, right? And it's a great gain. When you could be contented, that means you do not lush for all these things. Your heart and your mind is settled, right? Godliness with contentment. When you have the word of God planted in you, right? You're willing to accept whatever the world throw on you, but you keep holding on to God's word. You know, it's not easy being a Christian. It's not easy. People think because you become a Christian, everything disappears. All your problems disappear. It's not like that, because we still have to live in this world. We still have to provide. We still have to feel the pain and the suffering, you know. But we know that is everlasting life. So if we're contented with God's word, it's great gain. You know, this week I was sitting with my grandson. Maybe you know Aiden, he's about 6. And we were in the car, you know, and we had a little conversation, you know. So he says, he normally stays with us during the week and he goes home on the weekend. He says, you know, Grandpa, I want to go and see my parents this week. Was Friday, so this afternoon, I want to go and see my parents, you know, I haven't seen them. I said, really? You don't want to see Grandpa? And Grandma, I said, yes, but I want to go and see my mom and my dad. I says, good. I says, you know, I want to see my children too, you know, your daddy is my child, you know. And then he starts, says, but why do my mom call Grandma mom? I says, oh, because she's like one of our children too, right? He says, but don't tell grandma that I want to go and see my parents, or else she wouldn't give me no cake, because she promised him. But then he asked me a question. He said, Grandpa, will you get old and die? I said, yes, I'll get old and die. Well, I didn't want to tell him I could die anytime, but you know, I said, I scare him. But I says, yes, I will get old and die. All people get old and die. That's the way it is. But when I die, I'm going to heaven. I'm going with God. He says, Grandpa, I don't want to go to heaven, because he's thinking he has to die before to go to heaven. You know, and then his grandma came and the conversation ended. But it's an opportunity for me to teach him about God, you know. Heaven is our destination. Heaven is where we will go, you know. So sometimes the pain of this world, you know, we suffer it, you know, and we look up. But we always have our eyes on that goal, on that destination, you know. We may not understand what everlasting life is, right? We can't understand it, what everlasting life means, because of our whole life is governed by time. Time dictates everything we do, right? Time dictates every single thing we do. We wake up morning, is the alarm. We have to go to work. We have to do this. We have to do that. Everything is governed by time. Can you imagine when we are everlasting life with no time? No time. Be with God. How wonderful that will be. That crown of life. That should burn and give us desire to follow Christ. That will give us hope, so that when we in this world, we could shine that light through our pain, through our suffering. We have that light shining because we are going to that destination when there will be no more pain, when there will be no more suffering, when there will be no more death. You know, and this simple message that Paul's preach, that Jesus came and suffered and died for us and rise up. This simple message, yet with this simple message, you think that the church would be full, that the place would be bountiful with people because they want this gift. But people are guided by the world and the things in this world, right? The greed. And their minds are corrupt. And people are always focusing on material things, today things. They're not looking at everlasting life. It goes on to say, for we brought nothing into this world, and we take nothing out of it. A strong statement, but so true. We brought nothing in this world, and we take nothing out of it. You know, I had an experience where I face death, you know, very, very close to death. And when I was in that hospital, I was lying there, I was just thinking, maybe if I could see my bed or my bedroom or lie in my bed for one more night, one more time, just a little comfort of my home, you know. That's life sometimes. Sometimes I made it back, but sometimes you don't make it. You don't make it. We do not take nothing in this world. We do not bring in nothing. We do not take nothing out. My dad used to tell me a story. He says, life is like this. There's a pen, there's a paddock there, and there's a small space. So a fox wants to go in, there's some chicken in it. So he would wait until he's slim enough to pass through. You eat the chicken, and then you have to wait until he's slim enough to go out back. So much like life, eh? You come into this world, you brought nothing, and you take nothing out. People who want to get rich fall into the temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. You see? We have to be careful. This is the word of God. It's telling us that people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and to any many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. Have you ever seen people get destroy because of money, yeah, because of riches. Yeah, I seen that when I was a little boy, and I'll tell you how evil it got, how evil. I was little, and I can remember this story good. It was a Saturday afternoon. This man lived in the village. He was a bachelor for most of his life, and he worked hard, and he saved his money, and he saved, and he loved his money. He doesn't spend nothing. He put it up in the bank. Now he met this lady, and this lady came to live with him, and he was happy. I could remember going to his house, visiting him. He was very, very happy. But when he realized after maybe a year, 2 years, that this lady has emptied his old bank account, took all his money, and he left with nothing, right? All his life saving, everything he had was gone. And she came with the police to get her belongings. And it was horrible after then, because he had a machete, and he killed both her and her daughter that afternoon. When I was coming, the evilness that there. I was coming home. Same time I had to take a peep, and I see them all, the body was there. He killed them both for his money. See how it end up with evilness? The Bible tells us people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. Many people today too, you go, friends and so on, you invite them for church and you tell them about God. They are not interested. They're interested in the richness of the world. They're interested of chasing. They don't have time to come to church. They don't have time for God. And we as Christians, we has put God in our life, you know, to save us from that destruction. And it says, for the love of money is the root of all kind of evil. You see, somebody was saying this quote at the workplace, and it says, for money is the root of all evil. I says, no, not money. Money can't harm nobody, right? Money is good. We need money to buy stuff, to get stuff, to give the church, to give poor people. We need money. It's the love of money. And you see, it's a difference in people like that. When they are so obsessed into money, when everything in their life is just money and money and money and money. I've seen that in my lifetime. I've seen people being obsessed with money. One of my neighbors were. They were obsessed with money so much. They had thousands of acres of rice land. They have tractors and harvests. A very, very rich person. We were poor. They were rich. And that man would never even spend to buy a shoe. Right? If a piece of mud fall on the road, he's the first one grab it to put it in his land. He lived his life like that. With all his things. Never spend nothing on himself or anything. It's just money, money about money. When he died, his son, they dig a grave for him in the mud. They didn't put no fancy tomb or nothing. And the two of them were jumping on the tomb, and one is telling the other, ram it down good, make sure he doesn't come out. After then, you know what happened? It was big fighting and alcohol and drinking, and they all back in the grave, young, old. They kill each other, fight each other for money, and the thing is still there. The rice land is still there. The money is still there. Everything is still there. You see? For the love of money is the root of all kind of evil. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith that take hold of eternal life. We, as man of God and women of God too, because this is a word that's used for both gender, right? We have to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, and love, and endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight. What is the good fight? Fight the good fight. Take hold of the faith, you know? It's a battle with us. It's a battle. Satan doesn't want to go to hell alone. He doesn't want to go. He wants to take a lot of people with him. So it's a battle with us. But we put righteousness and faith in our life. Fight the good fight. Be gentle. That's why it's important. When we go out there within the world, we must have that joy in our heart because we have eternal life. How can we as Christians find eternal life? Find the Lord Jesus. How can we have that great gift of God? How can we know that we have that faith that we know eternal life is there and we could be downcasted? And we could be weak among men spiritually. No. We have to focus on the gift that we have. We have to put it in our hearts and our mind. You know, we could come to church and we could sit here, we could sing, and we could be here every Sunday. But do you really and truly believe that there is eternal life? Do you really and truly believe that Jesus died for you? Think about it. If you truly and really believe that there is a heaven, that there is Jesus, that he walked upon this earth and gave his life for us, it will change us. The brightness will flow no matter what problem this life will throw upon us. We know that there is eternity. We know that there is an end to our suffering. We know that one day we will be with God. One day we will be with Jesus. Isn't that mighty? Isn't that mighty? For me, it's mighty just to sit at his feet. Just to be there in his presence. You know? We as Christians, we suffer. And when we suffer, we must talk to God. We must go to him in prayer. We must have that connection with God. You know, as Christians, we have to do that. We have to be connected with God and focus upon him daily. This struggle and this lifetime is not once a week. It's not once a week when we come to church, we are okay. It's every single day we need God. Every single day we need Jesus. Everything we do, we need the guidance of Jesus in our life. When we go out to work, we need to have that bright, shining Jesus in us. We need to put that light in us, you know. And I tell you, you don't need no fancy, nothing to show that light, you know. We have a preacher by the name of Peters in Guyana. I think Brother Cassius might know him. I think he passed away now recently, you know. Poor preacher. And he walked. One day he was going, and he see this little boy crying. What happened to you, boy? I had a nice half a sack that my mom bought, and I lost it, and I can't go home. She'll beat me. In Guyana, they beat you. So he was crying. Brother Peters did. He went, took him home, and took his money, little money he had out of his pocket, and bought a new half a sack for that kid. You know? And next day, these rice farmers and cutters, cane cutters who work on the estate, they all get paid, so they all party and drink. And Brother Peters was walking, and he found this envelope. This man, his whole week pay was in there, but his address and his name and son was on there. So he went home and he kept it. And the next morning he went and looked and he find the house, because small place he know. And Brother Peters knock at the house. He was crying, the man was crying, telling his wife that he got robbed, right? Making up a story. And his wife thought he drank the money out and there were problems. But Peter says, no, your money is here. Everything is given back. You see the little things that we could do as Christians? The things that could change the world and change people's heart. The things that we should do as servant of God. And this is not a rich person, a little bit Chuck, but Acacius know him. He's always there, the man of God. Those are servants of God that we have. We have a good example too, a missionary by the name of Bruce House. He came in Guyana, he's white. He's American. He taught me the gospel too. He was going. He says, Brother Moses, let's go and walk Saturday morning. Go and teach. He's always in the street. He carried me to some streets. I couldn't walk in those streets. Normally I wouldn't go there. But I had to show braveness and go. It's a real, real poverty. And he's walking and all the children are, Brother Bruce. And he gives them candy. And he goes and sit with people and study with people. One day they call us and they says, come up. There's an old man, he's dying, he's sick on his bed, come pray for him, you know. We went up and we prayed for him and we talked with them and he says he's been baptized years ago, but he's been living home with his wife, he's not married, and so Brother Bruce started studying with him. We went back, he studied with him. They had to eventually, but Fillmore, I think was his name, or something like that, and his wife was Philomena. But I can remember that he was very old, and they took him down and baptized him. Philbert was his name, yeah. And they brought him back up 2 weeks after he died. He was so lucky, yeah. He put his thing in work, he married his wife or so, and then they baptized him, he put his life together, you know. That's when you go out and reach people. And his wife, she's baptized. She was in the church the last time I was there. I don't know if she's alive now because she was very old. But if you are not a servant of God, if you do not walk those streets, if you do not talk to the poor people, how you could meet them? You see, he was walking those streets, although he was American. He was walking those streets, teaching the gospel. That's how we should be as Christian. We should be out there, not going far out of a thing, but we dwell with people. We should be able to share the gospel. Tell them about God. Show them with our life how connected we are with God. How God has made a difference in our life. You know, so I would conclude because I know it's 12 my time. I normally go over time. But I want to challenge each and every one of us. Let's put God in our life. If you are a visitor today and you could hear this message, don't put it off for tomorrow. Today is the time that you could have eternity. Today is the time, now is the time that you put on Christ and you too could have hope of going to heaven. Do not play with time. We do not know what tomorrow held. And Christians, for us, we are here today. You know, we listen to this. If our life is not right with Christ, today is the day. Put it together and say, hey, this is a new me. I would be that shining light in this world. I would put Christ in my heart. I would let God dwell in my heart. No matter what problem this earth give us, not problem we have and troubles we have, we'll focus on everlasting life. Because whenever it's done and we put off this old body and it goes back to the earth, we will have hope of eternity. We will have hope of going to heaven. And I'll end with that. But if any one of you sitting here and you need to be baptized, you need to put on Christ, you could come talk with me. If anybody is feeling down and have problems and trouble and need prayers, you could come to the front and we could pray together. Don't be shy. We put on Christ, we show the world that we are Christians, we are different. If you want, you could come up and we could pray. If not, I'll pray alone. Right? Okay, let us pray. O most kind and ever-loving Heavenly Father, as we come before your mighty thrones to give you the praises, the honor, glory, and the thanks, thee, Father. At this time, we bring each and every one bowing your presence, thee, God. You know our struggles. You know our problems. You know that what we face, thee, Father. We put it all on your shoulder, thee, God. Help us, thee, Father, those who are sick, those who have problems with money, those who have troubles finding a job, thee, God. Those who are spiritually weak, we put them before you, thee, God. You lift your mighty hand on them and make them well, thee, God, but let it done according to your will. Help us, thee, God, as we go into this new week, thee, Father. Help us so that we may have you in our tribe, thee, God. That more people in darkness may see our light, thee, Father. And may want to join us and give you the praises, the glory, and the honor, thee, God. So they too may have everlasting life. They too may have that hope of going to heaven. And one day we will be with you, thee, Father. Where there will be no more death, thee, God. Where there will be no more suffering. No more pain, thee, God. We know you will wipe away the tears from our eyes. And you will be our God. Father, we put all this on your shoulder. Guide us and protect us, thee, Father. For we know you are like a rock, thee, God. You are always with us, even to the end, thee, Father. We put these and all these blessings through Jesus' precious name. Amen.